Owned Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome everyone, it's great to be back on the show again, and I was talking yesterday to one of our other presenters, Bill Rayner, and he's back in the country from the States having visited his grandchildren, so he'll be rearing to go making programs for August. So I'm Anne-Marie Currie, I'm your presenter for today. And I have in the studio with me a wonderful senior woman who's a stalwart in our community and really has a wonderful attitude towards caring for the planet and caring for our environment. So welcome, Lenny.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so Lenny Van Cam, you're an immigrant from Holland, a survivor from World War II, and have some fascinating stories, which I'm keen to interview you on in future times. But today I'm talking to you about plastic bags and why we need to stop using them in our shopping, and why we need to care more for exactly how our planet's going to be in the future, because the decline of the environment is probably one of the number one problems for Auckland. It's been identified even by the people refreshing the Auckland plan as one of the three key challenges for the next 30 years. So, Lenny, welcome to the program. It's really good to have you here on this very cold day. We've been huddled and bundled up in our warm clothes and hats. And I'd just like to kick off by thinking about the contribution that seniors make to our society. And in particular, I often talk about seniors being the glue that holds everything together, because we're often hidden and unseen in the work that we do. It's not paid work most of the time, and it's not necessarily highly valued, but it is highly important. And I'm just wondering if you can think back how you came to be involved in the things that you've done with the Twin Streams, with planting your pot garden on your deck, in your retirement unit, the things that you've done in the park, and the attitude that you have towards caring for the environment.
Well, I think that I belong to an organisation which is called Suki Mahikari, and they really care for the environment. They have been planting trees in Africa and the big green belt, excuse me, and also we were involved, my grandson, my daughter and I, with Twin Stream. We planted trees along the Opunuko Creek, and we just heard that through that a long-tailed bat has come back, which they hadn't seen for a long time. And I walked through the park, and I really enjoy the trees and everything else around me. And I even look at all the leaves that are on the ground, and they're so beautiful, beautiful colors, green, yellow, and orange, and I really enjoy them, and sometimes I pick them up and and take them home and give them to my friends, which sometimes they like it, and sometimes they look at me a bit funny.
Lenny, I can just see, I've just a picture in my mind of you picking up these leaves and treasuring them and taking them home. And it's something that I used to do as a kid. But in my world, the thing that we used to really treasure was stones, because we used to go to the riverbeds in Canterbury to have wonderful picnics with a big billy over the fire, and finding stones that we love to take home was our treat. So and leaves were important to me, particularly as I rode a bike across Hagley Park. I had a big selection of leaves to choose from. But those sorts of things that where we connect with nature actually really are incredibly important for health and well-being. It's something that's being very well researched now, and the Mental Health Foundation have a Five Ways to Well-being program, which they are promoting in the community. And one of the five ways is to take notice, to take note of what's around you and to be observant. And it's not because you have a responsibility so much to the environment, but it's also your responsibility to yourself to acknowledge that positively, you know, you are someone who can make a difference. And the more you take note of your surroundings, the better prepared you are to deal with whatever comes along. And that can be anything from trouble and unwanted attention to coping well in a disaster and to just being alert and alive and sensing your own aliveness. So the way you take note when you walk through the park and that is you're practicing this one of these five ways to well-being. And a lot of people who are very positive and who make a great contribution are indeed practicing these five ways to well-being, even though they may not be consciously doing it or nobody's told them. They're just doing it because they are a living example of how to live. And so that's how I see you, and that's one of the reasons I've invited you on the program, because I think that we need to look forward to the advantages of older age, where people do have time to take notice and time to share things with others.
I think that walking through the park is actually so special because you appreciate nature and how wonderful it is, and also you want to, I pick up bits and pieces of rubbish and special plastic bags because I read in somewhere that they even found a whale dead with a plastic bag inside it. So I think nature is so important, and it actually makes you feel so much better when you walk to nature and appreciate all the beautiful trees and everything that grows there.
Indeed, there's new articles coming out talking about new therapies in Japan where they take people walking under trees, and they call it tree walking, and breathing the air under the trees and just being part of that environment. Not jogging, not rushing around, just breathing and being in the company of the trees. Yeah. And how healing that is.
I can understand that, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Now, you mentioned plastic bags, and I brought into the studio bags carrying my music and things today, and I've got two cloth bags with me today, and these I'm using now. I keep them with me, and then if I need to go shopping, particularly to the supermarket in a hurry, I've already got my bags. I don't need plastic, and I'm plastic free.
That's very important, yeah.
Mm. And I understand that there will be a film that Grey Power is going to sponsor screening and invite seniors to in the middle of August, which will be about plastic bags.
Good.
And why we need to make this change. Mm. And it's good news that three mayors of the three biggest cities, Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch, have all come out and said we should do away with them.
That's right.
Very costly. They cost ratepayers quite a lot of money because of the work that they entail in terms of getting rid of them at the landfill.
Yep.
And they're not cost-free by any measure of means. They may be free to pick up at the shop, but they're not cost-free, and you're paying for all of their disposal on your rates.
Yep.
Just the way they blow away from the rubbish tips creates the extra work for the council.
I see that in the park.
Mm. Yep. So, and they don't break down over years and years. So this is a really big problem for society, and it's something that it's coming from the top. They're saying enough's enough, we've got to do something about it. So whether they'll introduce a tax on them or whether they will ban them or what they'll do, we've yet to find out, but in some towns in New Zealand they have already banned them.
Great.
So, you know, some towns are plastic bag free.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
And there is apparently a country, I don't know whether it's Ireland or China, where they actually have forbidden plastic bags.
Yes, it's not China, but I think in Ireland they're plastic bag free.
Which is fantastic.
Yes, it is fantastic. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a plastic bag free New Zealand?
That's right, yeah.
So I'm just excited about one of my cloth bags because it's come courtesy of several groups in the community, the Earth Action Trust, the Refugees as Survivors, the Roskill Youth Zone, Global Lighthouse, and, of course, sponsored by Pukitapapa Local Board, which I am a member of, locally elected member. So it's really neat to see this wonderful, very attractive bag out.
It is.
And it's really a delight to carry it around. I don't have to feel embarrassed about it at all. I'm advertising it everywhere I go and with such delight because I love the colours and I love the fact that it has somebody walking and somebody cycling on it, and encouraging walking and cycling as a message.
It looks great.
Yes. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to kind of share with you was the way in which your life is connected to nature in terms of your nutrition, your standard of food. Because one of the things in research for older age, for living well, is an emphasis on good nutrition. And it's something that worries me because as seniors have belt tightening to cope with on limited incomes, one of the first things that some people cut back on is their food. And so you're someone who I think sets an example to others in your own community the way you care for yourself. And so I wondered if you'd just like to share with us a little bit about your own mini garden that you have on your deck.
I've got silver beet and parsley and things like that growing on my balcony. Mm-hmm. And I've also got a tiny wee little garden, which is like a table, as big as a table. And I grow broccoli and parsley and silver beet and spinach and different things there, beans in season. Mm-hmm. And I eat a lot of veggies and fruit. So I think that would probably help me to keep going.
Well, I think in terms of what you achieve in a week at an 80-plus age group level, I think is quite phenomenal because I look around and I don't see too many people able to match you in terms of hours of service in the community and what you're actually able to achieve. And you know, I just wondered, do you have any other tricks in your self-care kit?
Well, as I said before, I belong to Suke Mahikari, and it's an organization that radiates true light. True light is an energy that purifies spiritually, mentally, and physically, and that would help me a lot, and I give it, and that is just fantastic. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm very, very happy and grateful that I'm allowed to carry on at my age. I'm 87.
Wow. So we're very honoured to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
And that's great. And I understand our technician Joe is going to take some photos at the end. So we'll have those up on the Facebook page. Now, I'm also keen to talk a bit more about tree planting. And the mayor has a million trees program.
Wow.
Which has got underway, and also in the area where I'm elected representative, we have 100,000 trees going in to a stormwater project along what has been known as Oakley Creek, Te Oanga, and that project has created jobs for some young people who were unemployed, and it's one of the first times that a council contracted project has taken on unemployed people, and we actually sponsored the pre-training, their preparation before they could go for interviews. So that's been a really interesting project. Now, the houses in that area, there used to be a lot of flooding. The houses were damp and cold, and people suffered with muddy backyards. And already people are noticing from the benefits.
Great.
The project's not finished yet.
Mm.
It's still got another year to go. But the tree planting is really having an impact.
I was told by Twinstream that they, years ago, planted trees in Sunnyvale. And the youth got so interested that they wanted to look after the trees and everything. And then through that, people started to look better after their own gardens. So that is a positive as well, isn't it?
Well, it's like nature is healing. Once you make the contact with nature, it doesn't really matter how, it's like you get into relationship with nature. You get in tune with your environment. And by giving, then you receive, and that motivates you to give more. So it's a mutual process.
It's just, nature is just wonderful.
Mm.
And we should look after it.
Well, indeed, we only have one planet.
That's right.
So, and it is quite crucial with the numbers of people coming into Auckland. There's 800 new car registrations a week. So that gives you some idea. I mean, it's about 70,000 people arriving in Auckland each year. And some of those people are over the age of 50, at least a third. Some of them are Kiwis returning from overseas, coming here so they can pick up their pension in 10 years hence, otherwise they miss out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are people who are escaping from other parts of the world because they can see the decline happening there and they want to get to New Zealand they see as cleaner and greener.
Yeah.
And some, of course, are migrants from a range of countries and some are refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a huge job on our hands absorbing the people and creating infrastructure and finding ways to accommodate all this. So our environment is under stress.
That's
because
right.
of all of this, because of all of the development going on. And we do have people very concerned. We're building on farmland now, which we really need for food.
That's sad, isn't it? Yeah.
It is sad. And so what that means is that people who are aware need to be vigilant, need to be rising up and making sure that we protect open space.
Yeah.
Because in England, a man called Michael Marmot, who was knighted for this work, did some research and he investigated in 16 cities the relationship of open space to the number of people living and their well-being. And he found a very clear relationship between the number of people and the amount of open space. So countries and cities that cut down their open space dramatically and also increase their population have lower life expectancy as an outcome.
You know, when I arrived in New Zealand in 1951, you would never find a piece of paper or any rubbish in the streets anywhere. It was just great. And look at it now.
Well, I can remember in the 1960s feeling very safe walking around neighbourhoods. I used to walk past the prison regularly in Addington, in Christchurch, and I used to walk through to Sydenham, which is quite a rough area, but I felt very safe.
Yep.
And no, there was no rubbish around. But more than that, people did look out for people.
Yep.
And I also found that we never saw anybody begging.
No.
I never saw any begging till I went overseas, until I travelled in third world countries. I'd never really understood the concept of begging as such.
Yeah.
We never saw people sleeping in streets. And so what we've got now is a huge gap, huge difference between the top earners and the bottom earners. And we have about 20% of the population really under the poverty line. And that's not a good way to have a society. What I like about Europe and Holland and Germany in particular is they're modern successful economies, but the finance companies and the banks are subservient to the industry, not the other way around. And therefore, family is paramount. So when it comes to housing, there's long-term housing options for people who need to rent. There's the capacity for people to be comfortable and they don't have to uproot. Now, in New Zealand, we've got children moving schools sometimes three times a year because their parents are in unstable housing, and this is impacting on their education. It's not just a small group, it's a large group. And that can't be good for our long-term well-being.
No, that's just not good for the children.
It's not good for the children, but then it's not good for their skill levels, for their literacy. We know that there's a substantial number of children coming through into the colleges who don't have the literacy levels to cope with the college education program. And so they won't be able to be successful, they won't be able to pass exams and become skilled in the workforce. And we do need skilled workers. The days of having people who can do unskilled work are dying because robots are taking over.
Yes. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yep. It is. And the robots are playing a valuable part in senior health. There's pilots now where they have robots in people's apartments and units that prompt them, talk to them, tell them to take their medication. The robot communicates back with the health clinic and tells them whether the person's taken their medication or not.
Wow.
They'll even do blood pressure recordings and all sorts of things. I mean, it's really very sophisticated. And what is really odd is that some people, well, I find it a bit odd, but some people, just as children talk to dolls and have a relationship with their dolls and teddy bears, older people do form relationships with the robots. So when the robots need to go to hospital or be cared for or reconfigured or have battery changes and things, they're very deeply missed, and people get quite upset when the robot's not there.
That's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. It's really unbelievable.
Gosh. Yeah, yes. And that takes a lot of jobs away, of course, those robots.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, we have to look into the future and to be positive as you age is quite a challenge these days. And there are people who are, all doom and gloom. And one of the reasons why I invited you on the program is because, you know, you embody being a positive thinker, looking outward, giving to others, and you're taking joy in being alive and in giving. And that's an amazing role modelling.
Of course, you have to have determination. You really sometimes have to push yourself, but you just keep going.
And I remember one time you told me how you'd been rescued in your family situation by being taken out of the war environment in Amsterdam and taken across the river to the other side where there was food.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on the way back, after having spent some weeks over there and getting fed and putting some weight on.
A bag of rye.
Yes. You were coming back with your aunt.
I was coming back with a neighbour, and she had to travel the same way. And we were only about half an hour on our way on the bikes. And she was German born. Mm-hmm. And she asked the German trucks whether we could travel with them. So we put our bikes and everything on the back. And then we heard the planes and we jumped out of the truck. But the planes got the first truck and we could see the bodies on fire. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that. Mm-hmm. And we walked for hours to get back home with our bikes.
Yes. Wow. So that capacity to have a memory so vivid and clear and share that with us, that's really wonderful. Thank you, Lenny. really feel
and that
privileged.
That bag of rye actually saved our lives because people were just dropping in the street, dying from hunger. And we had a little hot dog stove, and I went to the bush and got firewood, and that kept us going. 3 meals a day, rye.
Wow. So thank you for that. And I'm going to now just introduce a track to give us a music break. And we'll switch to listen to Dave Brubeck, Over the Rainbow. Good to have you back with us. I'm just finishing the program now with just a couple of updates. This is school holidays. If you're looking for something to do with your grandchildren, please consider going off to MOTAT, because there's wonderful ways you can share stories of yesteryear, things that you used to play with, toys and pedal cars and all sorts that are there that you can share with grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So MOTAT's a good place to go on the school holidays, and it's very alive and full of new things. And if you're interested in family history, the Auckland Family History Expo is on from the 11th of August to Sunday the 13th, and it's at the Fickling Convention Centre in Mount Albert Road, Three Kings, and it's free except for the Friday opening event. So to find out more, go to your library. They have a booklet about it. And I want to thank Lenny Van Cam for coming in. Thank you, Lenny.
Thank you.
We've really enjoyed having you on the program. I'd like to have you back again in the future.
Thank you very much.
Great. And enjoy your week, everyone, and I look forward to our next session. Bye for now. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.